Salah Chomet Beis, we finished in the middle of the sugya. We're talking about Rabbi Shmuel, and we're trying to figure out why Rabbi Shmuel, on the one hand, understands as a Dover Pasha, he doesn't question it, that Bechor requires Beis HaMikdash, and that's called Bechor Ton Beis HaMikdash, whereas Maaser Sheni was a Safek. He wasn't sure if Bizman HaZeh, that we don't have the Mikdash, would there still be a mitzvah of Maaser Sheni? So the Gemara says, Maika Savar. How do we make any sense out of the sheet of Rabbi Shmuel? Why was it poshut to him that the Bechor does not apply Bizman HaZeh, but Maaser Sheni had a Safek? Ika Savar, if on the one hand, Kedusha Rishon and Kitchel Shaitav and Kitchel Asid Lavo, it means that the original Kedusha, the Beis HaMikdash, was L'shaito Uliyasid Lava. So the Mokom Beis HaMikdash is eternally Kadosh, it's sanctified. And the Kedusha of Yerushalayim to be Makriv Ba applies even Bizman HaZeh, as if the Beis HaMikdash stood. And we know the Kedusha Eretz Yisrael is not Betela according to Rabbi Shmuel. And then there's a Chiv Masro, so too the Kedusha's bias is not Betela. So therefore, with regard to Maaser Sheni, the Torah says, V'yachaltu l'fnei Hashem Elokecha. And Rabbi Shmuel has a doubt whether or not Bizman HaZeh, there's no Migdash. Is it considered l'fnei Hashem Elokecha or not? Is afilu b'char nami? Even with regard to b'char, whether or not it should be Nikrav and Nechal, Bizman HaZeh, well, if we hold Kitchel Ashaitov and Kitchel Asid Lavo, if Makrivim Af She'ein Bayis, that's a Sugya Megillah and Af Yud. So in other words, if they would be Bona the Mizbeach, and put the dam on the Mizbeach, because Zrikas Adam must be done on the Mizbeach, that we established already here on Daf Samach Amud Beis in Rava. So then, even though there's no bias, nevertheless, he could be makriv the Bechor on the Mizbeach without a bias. And that's called makrivim afal pishein bias. And the Kedushas Habayis is there because Kitchel Shait v'Kitchel Asid Lava. So therefore, Bechor also should be Nikrav Bizman HaZeh. So why, according to one side in Rabbi Shmuel, that we can still consider it Lifnei Hashem as far as Maser is concerned, why does he completely exclude the possibility of Hakrovas Bechor Bizman HaZeh? If it's Kitchel Yasid Lavo, and Makrivim Afal Pi Shein Bias, because of a low Kitchel Yasid Lavo, the Kedusha's based on English was completely Betela, it was completely null and void after Churban. And what was his suffix in the case of Maaser? That since Maaser doesn't need a Beis HaMikdash, it could be eaten in Yerushalayim, and you can fulfill the mitzvah of Lifnei Hashem, of Achilas Maaser Sheni Lifnei Hashem. Or on the other hand, maybe Yerushalayim Bechorban is not considered Lifnei Hashem. Is then Afilu Bechor Nami Tiboy should have the same identical suffix with regard to Bechor, if he would be able to circumvent the lack or the absence of Matan Damim and Matan Nimurim Al Gabi Mizbeach. For example, let's say he was Zorik the Dam and he was Makta the Imur before Churban Abayis and the Basar is still Kayam, then would he have the ability to eat the Basar? And that should be the same identical Safek as Maaser Sheni, that even though Lo Kitchel Asid Lavo and there's no Kedushas Beis HaMikdash, but since Achilas Maaser doesn't require the Beis HaMikdash, therefore you could eat it in Yerushalayim and it would be a kiyum of Lifnei Hashem. Why not apply the same logic to a Bechor, that if the Shechita and the Matan Damim was done before the Churban, then he should be able to eat the Basar and it's considered Lifnei Hashem in Yerushalayim? Amar Avino Liolam Kasavar. We're going to hold Kitcha L'Shait of a low Kitcha Lassid Lavo V'Hachem Mayaskinon. What's the case here? The Hekesh between Maaser Sheni and Bechor is B'Bechor Shenizrak Domo Kodem Churban Abayis. So there was already Zrikas Adam before the Churban. Bechor Abayis V'Adayin Bisaro Kayam, and he now has the basar. And the question is whether he could eat the basar. So it was poshut Rabbi Shmuel that there's no achilus basar b'zman hazeh. Why? Because for iskash bisaro l'damo, there's a hekish between the basar of Bechor and the dam of the Bechor. Because with regard to Bechor in Bamidbar Yudches, the pasuk says, "Vi es damam tizrok alam is beach ubisarim yelach." So we have the zrika at the beginning of this pasuk and the achilas pasuk at the end of the pasuk. Ma damo, just like with regard to zrika sadam, and you need bimizbeach is af besaro bimizbeach. So too the achilas abasar derived from dam requires a time which is roi lizrikas adam b'mizbeach, then and only then could the basar be nechal. But if nechar of a mizbeach and there's no possibility of zrikas adam, then the basar is also not nechal. Only with regard to maser, Rabbi Yishmael had a suffix if bizman hazeh is considered lifnei Hashem, and he would be mitzadeh, he had a tzad to say that you can derive Maaser Sheni from Bechor and from Bikurim in a Bamei Tzad, as we learned yesterday. And the question is there a pircha on this Bamei Tzad? And the final conclusion is Osi Maaser Yolof Bechor, that Maaser could be derived from a Hekesh from Bechor, and just like Bechor is Nechal only at the time of the Zman HaBayis, so too Maaser can only be eaten at the time of the bias. Now, once we've derived the conclusion that as far as Bechor is concerned, you must have a Mizbeach, Abai understood that you need a Mizbeach Banui, a perfect Mizbeach, without a Pagam. And once that Chiddush was established in Bechor, we should derive from that as far as all Kodshim, let's say Kodshim Kalim, that they cannot be eaten at a time that the Mizbeach is Pagum. The Gemara continues to analyze the drasha of Rabbi Shmuel. The Gemara asks the following question. The Basar of Bechor is not Nechal, and that was derived by Rabbi Shmuel from a Hekesh to Dam. How now would Rabbi Shmuel be able to go back and derive Maaser Sheni from a Hekesh Bechor? V'chidavar lomi behekesh chozer melamed behekesh. We have a klal that in Kodshim, that which is derived from Hekesh cannot now teach something through a Hekesh. And this was a sugya that we had back on Daf Memtes Amid Beis. So our answer is Maaser Dogon Chulinhu. Maaser Sheni is not considered, not classified as Kodshim, but rather as Chulin. And with regard to Chulin, we don't have that limitation, that restriction. But rather you can derive something that was derived from a Hekesh in a Hekesh built on top of a Hekesh. So therefore we can derive from Bechor to Maaser, even though Bechor itself was derived from a Hekesh to Dam. Honey, Cholamanti, Yom HaDigmar says, that's okay, according to the one who holds that Basa Lamed Azlinon, that we look at the Nilmad, and since here the Nilmad is Chulin, meaning we want to derive Halacha in Maaser Sheni, which is Chulin, therefore we don't apply the principle of Dover Alami Behekesh, Eino Choser Malami Behekesh. Elamand Yom Basa Malami Azlin, if we go to the source, the root of this triangle, of this chain, And if it's a case of kodshim, then we have a problem. So here, according to the Man Yomer, that we go after the Malamed, how are we going to derive this hekesh? The Malamed here is Bechor, and Bechor is kodshim, and kodshim itself is derived from a hekesh to dam. So how could this case of Bechor now teach me something about my Sesheni through a hekesh? That's called Basar Malamed Aslinon, and we classify it there as therefore as kodshim. So our answer is Damu Basar Chana Milsehi. It's not that we're starting with a hekesh. It's not that Basar is derived from Dam with a hekesh, but rather it's all considered Dover Echad. It's one thing, and therefore it can now teach the halacha of Maaseh Sheni. The Gemara now brings Rabbi Yirmi, who disagrees with Abaye, Ki Solik Ravin, when Ravin came from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, Amra L'Shmaita Kami de Rabbi Yirmiya, he presented this sugya in front of Rabbi Yirmiya, that Abaye derived from the words of Rabbi Yossi, that we cannot eat Kodshim Kalim at the time that the Mizbech is Pogum. Amar, and the response of Rabbi Yirmiya to Ravin was Bavloi Tipshoi, that these Bavloim are not too smart. Amtul Diyavi Bi'arach HaShocha, and that's because they live in the dark lands of Babel, of Golos. Amri Shmaita de Mechashko, and therefore they say Shmuos that are very dark in nature, meaning that the words of Abaye, who is in Babel, are not correct, and the Gemara is going to explain why. Rabbi Yirmiya now is going to quote two brisos which contradict each other, and he's going to reconcile the contradiction. He's going to prove that you're allowed to eat kodshim kalim even at the time when there's no mizbeach against Abaye. And here's what Rabbi Yirmiya tells Ravin. He says, Lo shmielu hadesanya, did you not hear this brisa? And the brisa says, Bishas siluk masos, which means that at the time when they took apart the Mishkan, they disassembled the Mishkan and the Mizbechos, and they did this in order to journey in the Midbar from place to place, from one Machna to the other, from one Masa to the other, is Kodshim Nifsolim. The Basar Kodshim Kodshim would become Posel, and you weren't allowed to eat the Basar. And the reason why the Brisa mentions Kodshim Kodshim and not Kodshim Kalim has to be understood, and that's what we're going to see as we go along. My love, Hoba Kodshim Kodshim, Hoba Kodshim Kalim. In any event, let's continue. V'zovin mitzorayim mishtalchim chutz lamechitza. Now, even though they took apart the Mishkan, nevertheless the Kedushas HaMachnos still retained its status, and the din that zav has to be excluded from two machnos, not only from machna shechina, but even machna levia, and a mitzora from sholosh machnos, he has to be excluded not just from machna shechina and machna levia, but also from machna Yisrael. And this applied even while they were in journey, and even after the mizbeach and the migdash, the mishkan, was disassembled. We see from this that the reason why Basar Kodshim was Pasul has nothing to do with the fact that it's outside of its Mechitza, because the Kedusha Samachta still was Chai V'Kaya. It must be because of the fact that the Mizbeach was Nekar. So if we have this first price, so we come to the conclusion that Basar Kodshim becomes Pasul if there's no Mizbeach. So since here the Mizbeach was Nekar Bimkomo and it loses its Shem Mizbeach, therefore the Kodshi Kodshi, the Basar itself, becomes Posel. On the other hand, the Tanya Idoch, we have a different Braisa that says Bishnei Mekomos Kodshim Necholim. In other words, this din of Achilus Kodshim during the Mishkan, there are two possibilities with regard to the Mokom Achila. One possibility is that the Basar was Mutab Achila only in the place that was specified, and this din applies B'Shas HaMishkan B'Mkoma at the moment when the Mishkan is stationary in its place. Then there's another din that you can be you can permit the achila of kodshim during the time of the Mishkan b'chol makom shehem, even while the Mishkan moved from place to place, it means there's a stira now between these two brisos. The first brisa clearly and explicitly stated that the basar is nifsal when they took apart the Mishkan. And the second brisa, on the other hand, said that as far as achilas kodshim is concerned during the time of the Mishkan, you had two possibilities of makom achilaso. You were allowed to eat it only in its makom, and that applies only in its makom, meaning kodshim kalim is nechal b'chol machni Yisrael, was kodshim kodshim is only in the azara. But all this applies when the Mishkan was stationary in its place, it was assembled. However, when the Mishkan was taken apart, then you were allowed to be ochel kodshim, you could eat kodshim any place. And that's against what we saw in the first price, that kodshim nifsolim when the Mishkan was in its on the move. So the Gemara says that it would seem to reconcile, the way to reconcile these two brises, my love, we would have to say the following. Ha, in the case of the first brisa, we're talking about kodshim, kodshe kodshim. And when the Mishkan is taken apart and it's on the move, then the basar is possible because there's no mizbeach. But ha, the second brisa is talking about kodshim kalim. And when the Piruka Mishkan, when they took apart the Mishkan, there was no psul in Kotchikam. You could eat it even without a Mizbeach. And that's against Abaye, who says that Kotchim Kalim on if Solim, if there's no Mizbeach. And the Gemara now defends Abaye, that he shouldn't be subject to the slings and arrows of Rabbi Yirmiyah from the Braisa. Omra Vino Idi the Idi, both Braisos, even the brisa that says that kodshim on ifsolim the pirika mishkan, and especially the brisa that says that you're allowed to eat kodshim after the pirika mishkan, both brisas are referring to kodshim kalim. Below kasha, and there's no stira between one brisa and the other, because it's not one tana who wrote or expressed his opinion in both brisos, but rather there are two different tanoim, and they reflect two different shitas in the two different brisos. One is Rabbi Shmuel and one is Rabbanon. So now we're turning to Daf Samach Aleph Amud Aleph. Ha, the first brisa reflects the shita of Rabbi Shmuel, and the Gemara explained earlier that according to Rabbi Shmuel, we derive from Bechor, which is Kodshim Kalim, the hekesh between Basar and Dam, and that generates an Isra Achila if there's no Mizbeach. Even if the Zrikas Adam was already implemented on the Mizbeach, the Basar becomes Posel, and that applies to all Kodshim Kalim, not just to Bechor. And therefore, if the Mizbeach is not complete, it's been disassembled, it's on the move, then the Basar is Posel. And therefore, during the time of the Masos, Kodshim Kalim were Psulim. The second Brisa seems to assume that even when the Mishkan was taken apart and there's no Mizbeach, nevertheless you're allowed to eat Kodshim Kalim, that's only Lirabbanon. And the Chachomim hold that there's no Hekesh. They reject the Hekesh of Bechor of Boso Lidomo, and therefore there's no source to say the Kodshim Kalim would not be eaten if there's no Mizbeach. And therefore even during the time of the Masos, the Kodshim are not Nifsolim. Abai holds like Rabbi Shmuel, and therefore he holds there's no achilas kodshim kalim when there's no mizbeach. Now the Gemara offers a second answer of Ibois Ema. If you want, I can suggest a second answer. Hava ha, both brisos are talking about kodshim kodshim. In other words, even kodshim kodshim, everybody agrees, where everybody agrees that you need a mizbeach banui, nevertheless it's possible to understand and interpret both brisos. And how so? The first brisa is understood that during the Masos, there's no Mizbeach b'mkomo, the Basar is posel, as we saw in the Drasha, the Gemara, back on Daf Samach. And what do we do with the second brisa that says, Umay b'shnei mekomos? We have to reinterpret the brisa, the second brisa of Shnei Mekomos. The Braisa does not intend to tell us that you're allowed to eat kachim, and we're talking about kachim kachim here, during the nesiyah, during the movement of the Mishkan was disassembled, there's no mizbeach, it was nekamim komo, but rather we're talking about a case and a situation in which the mizbeach is omeid bimkomo. So what are these two makomos that the Brice is referring to? Makom echad, that's kodem, shi'amidu levim es ha-mishkan. In other words, at the time that the Mishkan of the Mizbeach was standing, bimkoman uketikunam. And the Gemara's language here, kodem, shi'amidu es ha-mishkan, that's lavdafka, but rather what the Gemara means is b'shosh ha-mishkan banui kimishpato. And if the Mishkan is banui kimishpato, then clearly you're allowed to eat the kachi kachi. However, here we're turning to Samach Aleph Amid Beis, the second makom is liachar she'yifarku ha-levim es ha-mishkan. So the Levim now took apart the karshi ha-mishkan, the beams of the Mishkan, kali ha-chotzer, and the curtains that surround the chotzer. But the Mizbeach is still Omed Bimkomo. And in this situation, the Brais was Mechadesh that you can still continue to eat Kachim Kalim, it's permissible. And that's because the Mizbeach is Omed Bimkomo. According to this Teretz of the Gemara, the Braisa is not coming to be Mechadesh that you're allowed to eat Kachim when the Mizbeach is Nekar Bimkomo. Certainly, that's not a case that was addressed in this price at all. There's no steer to Abaye, and if the Mizbeach was Nekar Bimkomo, there certainly is no Achilus Kodshin. The price wanted to be Mechadesh. Mao the same, I would have thought that if there's no Chotzer to the Mizbeach, if Salu B'Yotze, the boss was considered Yotze Chutzer Mechitzoso, because it's not considered Toch Mechitzes Chotzer Mishkan, if there's no chotzer for the mizbeach. Komash b'lon, the price wants to be mechadish a big chiddush that this is not considered yotze chutz mikloim. There's no psul of yotze, and it's mutar b'achila. In the first teretz of the Gemara, where the price was referring to kachim kalim, and it was talking about the time of the mizbeach nekar, we understood that the chiddush was that even kachim kachim would be possible if there's no mizbeach, but nevertheless kachim kalim would still be kosher be nechal. But now that we're talking about the braisa as referring to a case where the mizbeach is chai v'kayim, now we have to ask ourselves, so what was the chiddush that kachim is nechal and the mizbeach is chai v'kayim? And the Gemara explains that the chiddush is to tell me a din, not as far as the heter achila is concerned, if there's no mizbeach, but rather a heter achila where there's no kloyim. So the Gemara is telling us the chiddush of this second din, that achash epirkos ha-mishkan, again, the first din, when the mishkan was bibinyano, that doesn't have a chiddush, but it was written only to introduce the second din, that kachim and echolim b'shnei makomos, meaning even if liachar shepirkus ha-mishkan and there's no kloyim. The emach inami, the Gemara says, and if you'll ask, perhaps we should logically have a psul of chutz l'kloyim of yotze, because the boss is not toch kloy ha-chotzer. So Gemara answers, omakro, the pasuk says in Bamidbar perek beis, min nasa ohel moed. And we dash to this pasuk afal pish and nasa. Nevertheless, ol moed hu. In other words, even after the mafarik the mishkan, there still is a chashivas to the machne shchina, and it's not considered that the basar is yotze chutz l'mechitzaso. And therefore, it's mutal yochlo. You're allowed to eat it as long as the mizbeach is bimkomo. Even though there are no kloyim, it's not considered chutz l'mechitzaso. And that reflects the braisa, the drasha that we had back on Daf Samach from the pasuk in Vayikra Yud, Eitzal HaMizbeach, meaning if there's Nekar HaMizbeach, then there's a psul in Kodshe Kodshim, and that was the first braisa. The Gemara now continues to study the subject of the Mizbechos that were in the Mishkan and in the Migdash, and it brings down things about the items about the Mizbeach regarding Shiloh, before we spoke about Shlomo Melech, who replaced the Mizbach HaNechoshes of Moshe with the Mizbach HaAvonim. Our sugya now is going to address the case of the time period before Shlomo, and there was no Mizbach which was made of Avonim. Omar Rav Huna, Omar Rav, Mizbach Shel Shiloh, at the time the Mishkan of Shiloh, Shel Avonim Hoya. Even though the Mizbeach in the Midbar, and in Gilgal for that matter, was made of eitz, it was made of wood. However, when they came to Shiloh, they set up a Mizbeach that was made of even. In other words, there was a Mizbeach in Shiloh that was made of Avonim. The Gemara later on is going to bring another possibility. So this is all Rav Huna in the name of Rav. And the source for this is a braisa, the Sanya Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer Matam Lomer. What do we derive from the psukim that address the chomer of Asui HaMizbeach? That what is the chomer, meaning the material from which the Mizbeach is constructed? And the psukim repeat themselves three times, Avonim, Avonim, Avonim. Let's go through the three psukim. In Shmos Perk Chof, Pasuk Chof Beis, V'im Mizbach Avonim Ta'asa Li, Lo Sivnes Hen Gozis, this is at the end of Parshas Yisro. And then towards the end of the Torah it says, In Dvorm Chof Zay V'hoyu B'Avrachem Es HaYarden, U'vanisa Shom Mizbach, Mizbach Lashem Elokecha Mizbach Avonim Lo Sonif Aleim Barzel, that's in Pasuk Hey, and then you fast forward to Pasuk Vav, it says, Avonim Shlemos Tivne Es Mizbach Hashem El Kecha. So the word Avonim is repeated in the Torah three times to teach us about three different Mizbachos. Echad Shel Shilo, Echad Shel Nov, V'Givon, V'Echad Shel Beis Olamim. All of these were, again in the Torah's mandate, were to be made of Avonim. And we have here three mizbechos. We have the mizbech of Shiloh, the mizbech of Nov Givon, and the mizbech called the mizbech of Beis Olamim. Now the Gemara is going to establish later on that when Klal Yisrael, Bnei Yisrael went into Eretz Yisrael, there were 14 years of Kibush v'Chiluk, and the Mishkan was in Gilgal during that period of time. After the completion of Chalukas Eretz Yisrael, the Makom, the Mishkan, was established in Shiloh. However, there was a difference between the Mivna, the building of the Mishkan and the Midbar, where all the walls were made of Evan, and the Mishkan was in Shiloh from the time of Yeshua till the time of Eliyahu Kohen, and that was 369 years. After that period of time, the Aron was taken captivity by Plishtim, and the Mishkan in Shiloh was destroyed. Later, they were kover the Makom HaMishkan in Nov. There, they continued to have the Mishkan until Shaul HaMelech destroyed the Kohanim of Nov. From Nov, the Mishkan passed on to Givon, and there it was in Givon until the Beis HaMikdash was built at the time of Shlomo Melech in the fourth year of his Malchus, when the Mishkan was in Gilgal and also in Nov and Givon. Then the Kedusha was incomplete because it was considered a Bama Gdola and it wasn't really a Makom HaKrova for Yachid. I should say it wasn't a Makom HaKrova Yechidi, meaning it wasn't designated as the only exclusive Makom HaKrova, and therefore any person could set up a Bama and he could be Makrov on his Bama. That's as far as Gilgal, Nov, and Givon is concerned. However, in contrast, the Mishkan in Shiloh was considered and defined halachically as the exclusive place for HaKrova at that time period, those 369 years. There was no possibility of being makriv on a bama, and that had the same status as the Mishkan in the Midbar. and later on the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. So the Torah relates to Mishkan Shiloh in a very special way. It's called Menucha, and the Mishnah and the Gemara later on at the end of Masechta Zvachim derive from a pasuk in Dvarim Yudbeis. That pasuk is coming to be Makra Akrav B'Boma outside of the Mishkan, and the pasuk says Ki Lo Basam Arata La Menucha La Velanachla Shehashem El Kecha Dosein Lot. That the word Menucha is an allusion to the Mishkan at Shiloh. Nachla is the Beis HaMikdash. So during this period of time called Shiloh, there was no Heter Bamos. And this reflects to a large extent what we see here in the name of Rav, that in Mishkan Shiloh, the Mizbeach was a Mizbeach Avonim, which is not the case neither in the Midbar and Gilgal. And now the three times that it says Avonim, says Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, the first of the three is to tell you about Shiloh. Now, as far as Nov and Givon are concerned, which was the place of the Mishkan after the destruction of Shiloh, there, it seems that the Mishkan was considered just like a Boma Gdola, but there was a possibility of a Boma Ketana, and anyone could still be Makriv on a Boma, because Nov and Givon did not have the identical status of Shiloh. But yet, nevertheless, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says that the Mizbeach at the time of Nov and Givon was the same as it was at the time of Shiloh. Now again, as far as the Mizbeach in the Midbar, and the Mizbeach in Gilgal for that matter, that was made of Atzei Shittim, and that's in Shmos Perikov Zayin. Although the Mizbeach is called Mizbeach HaNechoshes, that's because the Atzei Shittim were covered with a layer of Nechoshes, as the Torah says, Kasher Nase HaMizbeach Me'avonim. When the Mizbeach was made of Avonim, it was never covered with Nechoshes. And that's true both in the case of Shiloh, Nov VeGivon, and certainly the Beis HaMikdash. Again, later on, there's going to be an opinion that the Mizbeach of Shiloh, even though it was made of Avonim, was covered with Nechoshes. But in any event, it's clear that the Mizbeach of Shiloh was made of Avonim. And with regard to Nov and Givon, we're going to say that Nov and Givon, the Mizbeach, was made of Avonim. Nov and Givon, it would seem, both have the same identical status of a Mizbeach, because the Mishkan in these two places was of one ilk, of one darga, and it had the status of Boma Gdola with a lower level of Kedusha in both Nov and Givon. The Beis HaMikdash is called Beis Olamim because even after the Churban of the Beis Olamim, there was still no Heter Bomos. In the case of Kedusha Shiloh, after its destruction, there was a Heter Bomos during the time of Nov and Givon. In any event, the Gemara says the following: Mosiv Rav Acha Bar Ami. This is a kasha that they ask from a brisa. Eish sheyardim in a mizbeach bimei Moshe, the fire that came in a shamayim down to the mizbeach at the time Moshe ben Elon nistalka me'al mizbeach hanechoshes, was never removed from the mizbeach hanechoshes at all. In other words, even during the Masos of the Midbar, when they covered the Mizbeach HaNechoshes with some sort of a kli that was made of Nechoshes, and they covered it all with a beged of argamon, the Eish would continue to burn. That's a pella. Ela bimei Shlomo HaMelech, when Shlomo HaMelech built a Mizbeach of Havonim, then the Eish was removed from the Mizbech HaNechoshes, and the Eish came down Shemayim to the Mizbech HaAvonim, and that's what it means, Eish Yarda Bimei Shlomo. And his Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash would bring down the fire that originally was burning on the Mizbech HaNechoshes. And this is based on a pasuk at the end of Tanakh in Divrei HaYomim. It says, "Ukechalos Shlomo lispalel veish yordu min hashamayim vatochel olav azvachim kvod Hashem boleis habayis." So it means during the time of Shlomo, some eish, I call it a gachelos, came flying down from Shemayim, and it's called revutzal mizbeach ka'ari. Islo nistalka ad shebono Menashe. Vesilka. In other words, the Eish continued on the Mizbeach of Shlomo HaMelech until the point of Menashe HaMelech, who was responsible. He was the son of Chizkiyahu HaMelech Yehuda and replaced his father, but he did Ra B'nei Hashem, and as a result there was a siluk of the Eish Min HaShamayim. So now the Gemara asks this kasha. This is the kasha of Avacha Bar Ami. V'im Isa, if Rav is correct, that already at the time of Mishkan Shiloh, they no longer used the Mizbach HaNechoshes of Moshe Rabbeinu, and instead they replaced it with a Mizbach HaVonim, how could the Braisa therefore say that the Eish Yod Mishmayim Bimei Moshe, Lo Nistalka Ad Yimei Shlomo, is Meikara, meaning earlier than Shlomo HaMelech's time, who distalikle? The A should have been Mesulak at the beginning of the establishment of the Mishkan of Shiloh, because when he built the Mizbech HaVonim, then just like in the case of Shlomo, we said that the Mizbech HaVonim replaced the Eish and took the Eish off of the Mizbech HaNechoshes of Moshe, so too we should say the same thing even earlier than Shlomo at the time of Mishkan Shiloh. And therefore it seems from this Braisa that the Mizbech of Mishkan Shiloh was not a new Mizbeach of Avonim that would replace the Mizbeach HaNechoshes of Moshe Rabbeinu, but it was the same old Mishkan, the same old Mizbeach HaNechoshes. And that undermines the sheet of Rav. As Rav insisted that there was a Mizbeach Avonim at the time of Shiloh that would replace the Mizbeach HaNechoshes. But if that be the case, why wasn't there a Siluk Eish from the Mizbech HaNechoshes already at the time of Shiloh, of Mishkan Shiloh? So Gemara is going to offer two answers to this question. The first answer is that Rav, who said that the Mizbeach of Mishkan Shiloh was made of Avonim Udi Omer Ki Rabbi Nosson, Tisanya Rabbi Nosson Omer, Mizbeach Shel Shiloh Shel Nechoshes Hoya Chol Umole Avonim. In other words, that the Mizbech HaVonim of Shiloh was layered with a tzipui, an outside covering of Nechoshes. Not like the Mizbech of Moshe, which was a Mizbech of Eitz that was Mitzupe Nechoshes. And it was filled with Adama, so it was solid inside. But rather, the Mizbech of at the time of Shiloh was a Mizbech HaVonim that was Mitzupe Nechoshes, and therefore you can't ask a kash on Rav from the fact that the Braisa seems to indicate that the Mizbech Shiloh was the same identical Mizbech of Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbech was not made of HaVonim. Rav Nosson disagrees, and he holds that the Mizbech of Shiloh was a brand new Mizbeach like Rav, and once it was a brand new Mizbeach at the time of Shiloh, then Enochinami, according to the Shita Rav Nosson, Nistalka Eisha Yard Bimei Moshe. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Omer, he offers a second answer without introducing Rabbi Nosson. My, what does it mean when the Braisa says that the Eish Yardol Mizbech HaNechoshes Lo Niskalt No Nistalka, it didn't remove itself until the time of Shlomo HaMelech? It means Lo Nistalka Levatola, it wasn't removed entirely, they still used it, and only at the time of Shlomo Melech was it nisbat lo legamre. So the Gemara says, Ma'ihi, what does that mean? What's the meaning, what's the intention of this statement of Rab Nachman bar Yitzchak, lo nisbat lo legamre? So the Gemara brings two opinions on this. Rabba Rabbanan Omer, according to Chachamim, the Mizbach HaNechoshes stood right next door, contiguous to the Mizbach HaAvonin. The Eish on the Mizbach HaNechoshes, Shviva Havi Meshadra, it would send off zikim, you know, different flashes of fire. We call them lehavot in modern Hebrew, to the Mizbeach Avonin. And that fire that shot out from the Mizbeach HaNechoshes would burn the Emurim and the Ivorim that were being hooked to, that were being burnt on the Mizbeach HaAvonim of Shiloh. So that from one perspective, Rav is correct according to this answer, and the Mizbeach of Shiloh was indeed a Mizbeach HaAvonim, a brand new Mizbeach, but the old Mizbeach, the Mizbeach Nechoshes, was situated right next door to the Mizbeach HaAvonim, one next to the other. And why do we say that there wasn't a siluk ha'esh legamre until the time of Shlomo Melech? What about during the time of the Mizbeach HaAvonim of Shiloh? The answer is that there was an esh that would burn and be maktir what was on the Mizbeach HaAvonim that came from the Mizbeach, the Mizbeach HaNechoshes of Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's not called nistalka. Only at the time of Moshe, I'm sorry, at the time of Shlomo, at that point was there a complete siluk legamre. There was only one Mizbeach, a Mizbeach HaAvonim that would completely replace the Mizbeach HaNechoshes of Moshe Rabbeinu. Rav Papa Amar, Ushpiza Havinokat, the Eish was like an Ushpiza. Ushpiza is a guest in an inn, an Achsenoi, who goes from one place to the other. Vizimnin Hocha, Vizimnin Hocha. There were some times when the Eish was on the Mizbeach HaAvonim, and they were makriv directly on the Eish and the Mizbeach HaAvonim. There were other times when they were makriv on the Mizbeach HaNechoshes, and there was an Eish on the Mizbeach HaNechoshes. It's interesting to wonder where they were mesada the Marocha. Was it also on the Mizbeach HaNechoshes? Or, for example, could you be makriv one single korban, half on the Mizbeach HaNechoshes and half on this Mizbeach? And again, all this went on during the period of Shiloh, up until Shlomo Melech, when there was a complete replacement of the Mizbeach HaNechoshes. Now the sugya continues to analyze the Mizbechos that were in the Mishkan and in the Migdash, and compares the first Migdash to the second Migdash in terms of the size of the Mizbeach. Tanan Hassan, we have a Mishnah in the third parak of Masechta Midos, in the name of Rabbi Yossi, that in the first bias, the area of the Mizbeach in its base, Betachtiso, was 28 amos on 28 amos. And the Shetach, the area of the Marocha, of the fire itself, was 20 amma on 20 amma. Uksha'olu, when they came on Aliyah to Yerushalayim, the Bnei Agola, at the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, and they built the second bayis, they built the Mizbeach in the exact same place, in the same location, that the Mizbeach was built in the first base of Migdash. But Hosifu Olav, they expanded the area of the Mizbeach in the second Migdash, Arba Amos min Adorom, the Arba Amos min Hamarav. 4 Amos on the south side, 4 Amos on the west side. In such a way that this addition and expansion of the Mizbeach was Kimin Gamma. Gamma is a Greek letter. And this letter, Gamma, has the tzura of a resh, meaning a resh hafucha, if you take a resh upside down, like an L kind of shape, that goes from the right to the left. And Chazal must have had some sort of a reason here, an agenda to describe the tzura of the Mizbeach as an os gamma. There could have been many other possibilities. Rashi seems to indicate that gamma is like a chaf sofit. We described it more like a line that came down and like an L shaped. He calls it a chaf sofit. And the reason why it's not called like a resh is because a resh has a certain round part, whereas a chaf sofit is more square, you know, with a 90 degree angle. In any event, now the shetach, the mizbeach, at the base, instead of being 28 amos square, is now 32 amos square by adding another 4 amos onto the 32 amos. I'm sorry, onto the 28 amos, we add 4 amos and we come to 32 amos. And then the shetach maroch, if you're talking about the eish on top of the mizbeach, now became 24 amos square as opposed to 20 amos. And we're going to have to ask two questions. Number one, why, what motivated them at the time of the second Migdash to expand the Mizbeach? And secondly, what gives permission to expand the Mizbeach? The Midos and the Mizbeach are a done deal. And if the Midos and the Mizbeach were 28 amos at the time of the Bais Rishon, how could they deviate from that and add another 4 amos? But as far as the first question is concerned, why would they motivate it to expand the Mizbeach in the second Migdash? The Gemara offers two answers to that question. Omar Rav Yosef, Mishum Delo Sapek. In other words, the size of the Mizbeach, the area of the Mizbeach, was not large enough for the Haktorah of all the Korbanos, the many, many Korbanos that they needed to be maktir on the Mizbeach. The Gemara is going to say later on that Rabbi Yosef changed his mind and he's going to offer a third answer. But first, the Gemara has a masa umatan going back and forth deliberating about the answer of Yosef. Amali Abai, Abai turns to Rabbi Yosef and he says, how can you say such a thing? Hashta, now in the Beis HaMikdash HaRishon, Dichsiv Bei, the Torah describes it in the Tanakh in Melachim Aleph, Perek Dalet. Shehayu Oz Yehuda v'Yisrael Rabim Kechol Asher Sfas Hayom L'Rov. And nevertheless, despite the great multitudes of Klal Yisrael, Sapek, there was enough room on the Mizbeach. The area was large enough for all the Korbanos. Is Bebayis Hamikdash Hasheni V'Tziv Bei. As we know from Ezra Nehemiah, it says Kol HaKol Ke'echad Arba Ribo Alpayim Shlosh Mil Sveshishim. You know, we're talking about a very, very small population. 42,360. That's minuscule. That's not kechol ashel sfas hayom. Is lo sapek? There wasn't enough room on the Mizbeach for all the korbanos for such a small population. And even though you might argue that Bnei Yisrael and Chutz Laaretz would also have to come to bring their korbanos to this Mizbeach, but nevertheless, the Gemara says if they weren't kechol shvas hayom, then for sure there weren't that many olim. They didn't need a large mizbeach. So what's Rav Yosef telling us? Amalei, Rav Yosef responds to Abaye Hosam in the first place of Mikdash, even though there were multitudes, there was nevertheless enough room on the mizbeach for all the korbanos. Why? Because the eish shel shamayim misayaton, the fire that came down from the heavens during the Bais Rishon, would help them with Akhtara. The fire had a very strong power and it would burn up Karbonus immediately. But Hocha here in the Bais Sheni, even though there was only a small multitude of people, they needed to be Magdil to expand the Shetach, the area of the Marocha, in order to burn all the Karbonus, because Einesh Shel Shamayim Misayoto. This is a Gemara in Yuma and Daf Chaf Aleph on the Beis that enumerates five things that were in Bais Rishon that were lost in Bais Sheni. One of them is Eish Sheyarda Min HaShamayim. And the Gemara there in Yuma says that there was an Eish in Beis HaMikdash HaSheni and Beis Sheni, but it wasn't Misayas BeHaktor, it didn't burn up the Karbonos B'mehirus. And therefore, they weren't able to, on such a smaller Mizbeach, not wasn't that much smaller, but a smaller Mizbeach, to be Mechale, to burn all the Karbonos. Now, there's a pasuk in Yechezkel from which we derive this Hosafa, this extra addition, and that is addressed Li'osid Lavo, when there will be an Eish Messiah. So why would they need in the Mizbeach of Yechezkel of Bai Shlishi, they would need such a large size? Now it could be that since at the time Bai Sheni there was a large size, then the Kedusha of Bai Sheni now expands to Bai Shlishi, and therefore they maintain the same size of the Mizbeach. In any event, that's the answer of Rav Yosef before he was Chozer. Now we have a second answer. Ki also Ravin, when Ravin came Feretzil to Bovel, Omar, he said in the name of Rav Shimon ben Pazi, who in turn was quoting Bar Kappara, that they were Mosif on the Mizbeach in the south and the west, western sides of the Mizbeach. And that's because Shitin Hosifu, they added Shitin, which were made in such a way that the yayin of the Nesachim and the mayim of the Nesachim would go through the shitim when they were placed on the Mizbeach. Now, the word shitim is equal to boros amukim, kind of deep openings in the ground in the Azorah that was underneath the Mizbeach. That's where they placed the tzinoros of the Mizbeach itself, ad hashitin shebekarka, until these ditches and holes underneath the ground. And the Gemara here says that they added tzinoros to the Mizbeach for the sake of the Yeridas HaNesachim. And what we have to know here is that after any behem, any animal was nikrav as either an ol or a shlomim, or a chatas and an osham, in the case of asham mitzora, they were makriv a minchas nesachim, which was comprised of solas, shemen, v'yayin. The yayin was nitan v'nishpach through a nisuf process. It was poured into a sefel that was right near the southwestern keren of the Gaga Mizbeach, and from the hole inside that keren, shoseis, the liquids here, the yayin and the mayim, would go down all the way to the shitin. This is all described in the Mishnah in Sukkah Daf Memches. Now the mitzvah of nisuch hamayim al gabi mizbeach, which is halacha l'moshe miSinai, that on Chag HaSukkos, the place of nisuch hayayim was the rosh hamizbeach next to the keren dromis marovis, again with this sefel menukov which had holes in it, and from there it would go down to the shitim. And at the beginning, when they did the nisuch and the shosasim, the yardim, all these liquids, the yayin and the mayim, would go down to the Ritzpas HaZorah, and from there it would go down into this gigantic bar, which was near the Keren Dromis Marovis of the Mizbeach. But when they built the Migdash HaSheni, they expanded on the south and the west until Ad She'ola Al Oso Bar, and it reached the top of this ditch. So what they did was they made nekovim in the rosh hamizbeach so that the mayim and the yayin would be shosim, would go down to the bar. And why did they make this change in Bayis Sheni that didn't there was no necessity in Bayis Rishon? Is because meikara, because during the time of Bayis Rishon, savur, They were of the opinion that when the Torah said in Shmos Chaf Mizbach Avonim Tasali, what the Torah meant was that the Mizbeach had to be Shehu Otum, it has to be Sosum, it has to be closed around by Doma without any airspace in the middle. And therefore there was no possibility of creating a Nekev through which the Mayim and the Yayim would drain. However, Basof at the time, Beis HaMikdash, they changed their opinion, and it was Savur that Shasiya, the din of Shasiya the Mizbeach, meaning that the Nesach, that with regard to the Nesachim upon which they were Nasech on top of the Mizbeach, Ke Achila, they have the same din as Achila on the Mizbeach. In other words, they have the same identical status as Karbonos, which are burnt on top of the Mizbeach. And just like in the case of Achila, Misakeles Mizbeach De'esh, the fire would burn the carbon that was muktar on the Mizbeach, so too the Shasiya has to be Tzricha Libola B'Mizbeach, and it should not be thrown onto the Ritzba, it should not be poured onto the Ritzba, it has to be Nivla B'Mizbeach. The Nivla B'Mizbeach, the absorption into the Mizbeach, is parallel to the Achil, the equal of the burning of the Karbonis on the Mizbeach itself through the age, through the fire. So they were Marchiv the Mizbeach up until the place of Shita and Shepakarka. They made Nekovim for the Nesachim to go down through these Shitim. And in order to facilitate this, they had to expand the size, the area of the Mizbeach. And this is based on the principle of Shasiya Kachila. So therefore, they're no longer going to dash in the Pesach Mizbeach Avonim, Mizbeach Adom, excuse me, to say that it was solid inside without any space, any chalul. That's the way they dashed it, it'd be made by Srishon. Aye, the Pesach says, Umay Mizbeach Adoma. And that's going to teach us, Shehu Mechusa, Mechubar, excuse me, Ba Adoma. And what does Mechubar Ba Adoma teach me? Shlo Yivnenu Lo Al Gabi Kefin, which are called the Ulamos. The Mizbeach should not be built on top of the Ulamos. V'lo Al Gabi Mechilos, nor on top of these under subterranean boros of Shitim under the Mizbeach. The Shitim themselves were also boros shel Shitim, and they were under the Mizbeach. Why isn't that considered Mechilos? And we derive from the Pasuk Mizbeach Adoma that there should be no Mechilos underneath the Mizbeach. So we're going to have to assume that somehow the boros of Shitim, since they serve the Mizbeach, are not considered Mechilos. Mechilos means under subterranean openings which would not function on behalf of the Mizbeach. But in any event, this Pasuk of Mizbeach Adom is now teaching us that we have to build the Mizbeach on top of the Karka itself. But the Pasuk is not coming to tell me that it's Otum Be'Adoma. And therefore, we can allow for these Shitim, by expanding the Mizbeach Adoma, and there's going to be hollow space underneath the Mizbeach, and we can reinterpret Mizbeach Adoma. That's what we're going to have to do at the time of Bayis Sheni, because of the principle of Shasiya Ke'achila. Shasisa Ke'achila. And Shasisa Ke'achila means that the Mizbeach has to be bolea, so to speak. It has to absorb the Yayin and the Mayim of Niskei Yayin and Niskei Yayin and Niskei Mayim. Now at this point in the Gemara is going to go back to Rav Yosef on Samach Aleph and Beis, who suggested that the reason why they were Mosif to the Mizbeach and Bayis Sheni was because of the lack of an Eish, and they didn't have that powerful Eish that would quickly and immediately burn the Karbonos, and there was no possibility of being makriv all the Karbonos on a regular basis on such a relatively small Mizbeach. And now the Gemara is going to present the thesis that Rav Yosef himself backed down from this interpretation. And that Bali Neder will cover tomorrow. So we'll stop here on the top of Samach Bey's Omer Aleph with the words Omer Rav Yosef on the top line of Samach Bey's Omer Aleph.